Romans chapter 11, and I want to look at verses 17 through 24 with you all. Romans 11, 17 through 24. Now, these verses here serve as a warning against interpreting the gospel's flow, the gospel coming to the Gentiles, in a manner that should cause us to be puffed up with pride, to feel some sense of entitlement or something that we've done or because of us that this gospel has now come to us. And so we ought not to be arrogant about this, but rather humble that God should be so kind and gracious to us. And so the Gentile believers here, Paul is speaking to them of these things lest they should exalt themselves over the Jews, lest they should think of themselves more highly than they ought to think of themselves. And so we're not to exalt ourselves over the Jews, and especially not Jewish believers. All right? And so if any is puffed up when hearing that salvation has departed from the Jews, that it may come to the Gentiles, they ought to consider whether or not they really know the gospel. Right? If you're feeling pride about this, well, do you really know the grace of God? Have you experienced the grace of God that he should be so kind in bringing the light of the gospel to you? And so it's not that we as Gentiles now are suddenly more special than those which were called Jews according to the flesh, because salvation is by the grace of God alone, apart from our works, or apart from us making ourselves special or acceptable to the Lord. And, you know, many Jews stumbled over this very thing, right? They looked to their lineage from Abraham and thought that ensured their salvation. They thought that made them special in the eyes of God. But the Lord said, you know, and Paul brought this out so we didn't miss it, that in Isaac shall thy seed be blessed. Abraham had many children, right? We often even forget about Keturah, right? And all the sons she bore to Abraham late in his life. But from Ishmael and Keturah, and the Lord said, in Isaac shall thy seed be blessed. Not that lineage, but in other words, the children of the promise. That we should always know that it's according to God's promise in the covenant of grace that he saves, which is revealed or evidenced by the faith that he bears, that fruit of faith that he bears by the Spirit in his children. All right? So the Jews, they thought that they were special and peculiar based on their lineage, and yet how many thousands and millions of them died in unbelief outside of the kingdom of God, outside of the inheritance of the riches of God in Christ Jesus. All right? So we're not to be puffed up in vanity or to boast of these things that, well, now I'm a Gentile and only they receive the grace of God and the Jews are completely cut off forever. No, God is able to save them by grace just as he saves us. And that's the only way that God saves, is by grace. It's not based on lineage, either as a Jew or not being a Jew. It's always and only in Christ, in grace. All right? So I've titled this message, Broken Branches. Broken branches. And the first thing we're going to look at is this root and fatness that's spoken of in our text. Now, before we get there, before we look at verse 17, let me just say a few other words leading up to it. Paul's been confirming to us here in this chapter, as well as this whole letter, right, that salvation has always been according to the election of grace. And we've been looking at this, and I'm highlighting these verses on purpose to us, right? Romans 11:2. says, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Right? Those whom God loves, he hasn't cast them away. He loves them eternally. They're still his people. So then, verse 5, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Right? There's always a remnant that God has that he separates out according to the election of grace. And he tells us in verse 7, the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. And so this is true of Jew and Gentile. It's true of both Jew and Gentile, all right? Now, Paul wants to ensure that the Gentile brethren aren't going to stumble over the same stumbling stone that the Jews stumbled over, right? And thinking somehow that now they're the chosen people because they're Gentiles, right? That's foolishness. It's always according to the election of grace and never outside of the election of grace. I'm going to read a couple verses from Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, and here Solomon says in verse 18 that pride goeth before destruction, and in haughty spirit before the fall. Right? So we're not to be proud and puffed up. That is the beginning of our going down. That's the beginning of us stumbling and falling. And these other verses are also appropriate to what we're looking at here. He goes on to say in Proverbs 16, verse 19, better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Right? The spoil being our hope in Christ. That's not to be divided among the proud and the arrogant, but it's given in grace to the lowly, to those made humble by the grace of God. And so he says then in verse 20, he that handleth the matter wisely, that is you that have an understanding and a standing in the grace of God, you shall find good, he says. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, not his race, not in who he is according to the flesh, but trusts in the Lord, happy is he. All right? So that's what the Lord's saying to us. Don't look at anything in the flesh. We have no confidence in the flesh. Our confidence remains fixed in the Lord Jesus Christ in all things. All right. So now Paul, having declared to us throughout the epistle, in all his epistles, but even in this epistle here, that it's always and only a matter of grace in Christ, he says to his Gentile hearers in verse 17 now, back in our text, Romans 11, 17, and if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, all right, the root, we understand, is Jesus Christ. He's the one who bears his people, and it's not the other way around. Right? We're not bearing Christ. Christ bears us. It's not as man-made religion teaches, right? They teach that we're validating Christ by our faith, right? The man thinks that he's upholding Christ and the honor of God by his believing God. And the reality is, no, we don't make God valid, or we don't justify God by our actions, and apart from us there's nothing, but rather God justifies his people, and he reveals himself in them through faith. It's all his work, right? We're held by the grace of God and not the other way around. And then this fatness of the olive tree here, that's that believing part of Israel, right? That's the church, the true church of the living God, who are always looking for the coming of Christ, right? The church in the Old Testament was looking unto the coming of Christ, who would reveal salvation. Now, we know, we look back and see that he has come and has accomplished salvation, and we now yet look for his return, right? When he comes back and raises us all up and gathers us to himself in the resurrection. All right, so the church has always served the true and living God, always believing the Christ of God, always looking to the Messiah, and that began even in Abraham, right? When God called Abraham out of idolatry, and his children, Isaac and Jacob, and all those patriarchs, right? And then into Joshua and Caleb, and through the judges, and into David and Solomon and the faithful kings and all the believers that we don't know, but there were many that the Lord saved and had mercy on in Israel who looked for his coming, right? All the way up to Simeon and Anna, the widow, right? Who looked, who spoke of Christ to all those who looked for his coming, it says in Luke there. So that's always been the true Israel. Listen to these verses here. Most of them will be in Romans if you want to look with me. Romans 1, verse 16. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now hold your place there in Romans, and I'm just going to go to John 4, 22. And we'll see what our Lord Jesus Christ himself says to us concerning the Jews. He's speaking to that Samaritan woman at the well, and he says, ye worship, ye know not. You don't even know what you worship and what you're doing in Samaria here, which is also true of us Gentiles as well, right? And he said, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. See that? So the Lord always has had a people, and it began there in the Jews. They were the first ones connected to the root and were the fatness of the tree there. All right, back in Romans 3, 1 and 2, Paul asks, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Well, much every way, he says, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. All right, and then Romans 9, verse 4 and 5. Romans 9, 4 and 5. He says, Israelites, a few words in. Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. And so what he's saying here is that these weren't benefited by us. We're benefited, we Gentiles are benefited by them. All right? So we're not to exalt ourselves and say, look at us, how awesome we are. No, we're the ones that are receiving all these benefits as a result of the Lord's work in them first, right? He first worked in them. He first called them out. And so the branches that these Gentiles saw being broken off, they were removed because of unbelief, because they didn't believe in Christ, right? They weren't just simply broken off and chucked away just to make room for us. You see where I'm going? How a person thinking that would be puffed up, thinking, well, God's just ripping them out, making room for us. No, God didn't have to remove believers. There was unbelievers. And that's why they were removed, and that's why they were put aside and cast away, because of unbelief. Not just to make room for you and me. He didn't have to do that. All right? He did it in grace and in mercy. And that's why those that rejected Christ were removed from that olive tree, the fatness of the olive tree. All right, so now our God, through his gospel, has begun revealing faith in these Gentiles. All right, and he began grafting them into the olive tree by faith, right? It wasn't because of anything else that they had done. It was all in faith. And so what I want you to see is that there's always only been one family of God. There's only ever been one church, right? One salvation. one Savior. It's not different churches or different families of God. There's one family of God. Some were removed because of unbelief, and others were added, having faith revealed to them by the grace of God. But there's still only one family. I like what Paul said in Ephesians 4 through 6. He said, there's one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So this salvation that we're in, it's the same trait. The branches have changed, but it's the same trait. It's the one family of God and salvation. All right, therefore, he says to us in verse 18, Romans 11, 18, he says, boast not against the branches. All right, don't boast against Jews because they're Jews. Whether they're believers or unbelievers, don't boast against them. But if thou boast, or rather, if you insist on boasting, if you continue on in your boasting, thinking you're special and they're not, consider this, he says, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. All right? Again, you're not the one upholding God and keeping this thing going for him. He's the one keeping it going. He's the life giver. He's the root, and he's the one who's being gracious to whomsoever he will, according to the election of grace, those whom he foreknew before the foundation of the earth, before any of us did good or evil. God chose us in grace, in his Son, Jesus Christ, committing us to his salvation, his work. All right? And, you know, really, we Gentiles heard it from Jewish preachers. Ultimately, right? It goes all the way back to Christ, and it was always Jewish men that the Lord used to preach the gospel before it went out to the Gentiles, and then the Gentiles, you know, the Lord gifted some Gentile men to become preachers, and they continued preaching and declaring the gospel. All right, so this leads us to another thought here that the proud Gentile might have, and it's in verse 19 there. All right, when we're thinking of our place in the kingdom and the Jews' removal from it, Paul addresses this thought that someone might have in verse 19. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. All right, so everything Paul's been declaring to us in the gospel gives us no grounds to exalt ourselves over another unbeliever. Right? You don't feel that way with each other. Right? You don't have anything to exalt yourself over another brother. Right? And when if that thought comes in your head, you check it and realize, that's foolish. Why am I thinking like that? Who am I to exalt myself over my brother or sister? Right? Well, the same thing with the Jews. We as Gentiles have nothing to exalt ourselves over a Jew because they're also saved by faith in grace, just like we ourselves are saved that same way. And we acknowledge that God teaching us the gospel, he causes us to acknowledge that the grace I have isn't of my flesh, right? It's not of me, it's of the Lord. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, faith is the gift of God, right? And it's not given indiscriminately to all for them to decide whether they're going to exercise it or not. That's putting something that isn't even there in the scriptures. It's by faith, that gift of God, whereby a person believes, and those to whom he gives that faith, they shall believe in the appointed time of God's grace. And so these branches weren't just broken off and snapped off randomly just to insert you or me, right? We were grafted in by grace. And he says, he actually answers this in verse 20. Romans 11, 20. Well, or he uses it like true. Because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Right? And what we see, the fact that Paul's even addressing this, it shows us what we are in the flesh and the pride of nature that is in this very flesh of ourselves, right? We have this same pride and this same sin in us. I mean, it was in Adam, and we were all in Adam's loins when he sinned and rebelled against God in pride and was lifted up in pride. And so it's in every one of us. And we see that same pride eking out of the religion of this world, right? Religious men and women boasting of and proud for their faith, right? And that's why so many people say, I believed. It was my faith that saved me. And I know the scriptures speak of like that at times when the Lord said, that, go in peace, thy faith has saved you. But it's the faith which God in grace gave to the sinner, as opposed to that other sinner who knows nothing of grace and knows nothing of faith in God. They have faith in themselves or faith in other things, but they don't have faith in the Son of God, who is the Christ sent of God to save his people. So it's our faith because God gave it to us and is the power and authority behind that faith and that gift and that fruit that he's bearing in us, right? So we've nothing to boast of, and we don't boast of our lineage, whether we're Jew or Gentile. We don't boast now of our denomination and exalt ourselves, thinking that we're better, because we see how all the churches that call themselves Christian have fallen into numerous sins and folly and have gone off into the same dead letter religion that the Jews were guilty of. And so we don't hang our hopes on a denomination. Our hope is fixed in Christ, that he deliver us from stumbling over religion just like the Jews did, right? They stumbled over Christ, and we don't want to stumble over Christ and forget him and think that it's now in what we do or don't do that saves us, because it's Christ. It's always only Christ. And so we're not looking to exalt ourselves and thinking, well, I'm better than so-and-so at least. It doesn't matter whether you're better than so-and-so. We're still a sinner desperate for his grace and mercy. Or we're not better religionists. Right? We don't want to be better at religion than others. Our hope is Christ, that he have mercy on us just as we are, because what can we do? We don't have what it takes to make ourselves righteous, and we don't have what it takes to keep ourselves in the grace of God. All right? So Paul says, thou standest by faith, and that's a fruit of the Spirit, and that's born in every child of God in the appointed time of God's grace and love for them. Now, Paul gives a warning in verse 21. Verse 21, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. So, the intent here of Paul is that if anyone would have been spared, if God was going to spare anyone for natural causes, it would have been the Jews, not us Gentiles. Right? If there's any hope in natural stuff, it would have fallen to the Jews, and we would have been excluded. So don't even think of it in that way. It's if he didn't spare the natural branches, what do you got to offer? Nothing. So don't hope in that at all. All right? And so we're not going to look at things that are fleshly and things like that to boast in. Instead, he says, verse 22 now, behold therefore the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell, severity, or a harshness, a sternness from God. God was stern with them, and they were cut off. They were removed from belief. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And so he's saying, we that believe Christ, we're to be thankful to God for Christ, and not looking at what we've done to make ourselves savable by God, or to make him, provoke him to be good to us and kind to us. It's the goodness of God toward us. It's the goodness of God toward you, brethren, that you believe. Right? He said in Titus 3, 4 through 6, he said, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Right? He's speaking of that spiritual birth. Right? We in religion, man in religion, tends to forget that it's a spiritual birth whereby we stand and have our being in Christ, not by something we've done. It's not a physical thing that we do. It's what the Spirit of God has done for us in giving us life by the seed, the incorruptible seed of Jesus Christ. It's a new birth, brethren. It's a revelation of God, which is spiritual and not something that we can put our hands on or effect one way or the other. It's all of grace of Him. And that He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. All right, so He's saying continue in that faith, which has been revealed to you and has been revealed in you if you are indeed born of the Spirit of God. Right now, thinking of that continuing, remember Paul and Barnabas in Acts 13, and they're talking, I think it was in Antioch in Pisidia. It says that when they were speaking to the Jews first and the proselytes, they persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Right? They said, don't depart from this grace of God. Don't depart from that which you're hearing. And what he means by that is continue in the community of this fellowship and the truth that you've now heard. Continue in this revelation that God has given to you in the preaching of the gospel. Right? It's more of an outward thing that we don't want to miss this. We don't want to be left in darkness. We don't want to perish in our sins. And that want or that desire is born in us by the Spirit. Right? Many people go into religion and sit in various churches for many different carnal reasons. Right? And what Paul's saying is, if you've come into hearing the gospel, if he's brought you into that fellowship with the church where you're sitting and hearing the gospel and hearing what's being preached, you want to continue in that, asking the Lord to have mercy on you, not to be indifferent or careless with it and say, it'll be what it'll be. If it be, but no, like we should seek the Lord and ask Him, have mercy on me, Lord, lest I perish like so many others and be broken off, if you will. Not that a true child of God can ever be broken off from the grace of God. It's not possible. But all He's saying is, if you hear it and you hear what He's saying, don't be foolish. Don't be careless with that. Labor, stay in that grace of God. Right? It says they persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And then the next week came, and they see all these Gentiles coming, and many of those Jews that heard what Paul and Barnabas said became envious, and they left. Right? They rejected Christ, and they forbid them from preaching to Gentiles. And so the Lord stirred the heart of Paul and Barnabas to see what was going on, and they said, well, now you've judged yourselves unworthy of eternal life. We're going to the Gentiles with this word, as the Lord has showed us in His word. And so they went and preached to the Gentiles as a result. Same thing can happen to us, right? It looks like it has when you look at the Gentile church at large. It looks like they have just fallen dead in dead letter religion and hoping in themselves and their own works. And they've forgotten Christ. They have no part with Him. They never had a part, but they certainly aren't doing anything to try and have one. They're just laboring in religion to try and move God towards them. All right, so Paul says in verse 23, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Right? So we see, again, it's the elect, which He'll save in the appointed time, because they won't continue in unbelief, but there will be faith revealed in them. And then he points this proof here in verse 24. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree?" In other words, there's nothing prohibiting God from saving any of us. He's able to save any of his people at the appointed time of grace, and that he'll do. So we can trust and believe that he's going to save his people, but not have any boasting of ourselves, knowing it's of his grace and mercy toward us. So we don't exalt ourselves, we rejoice in our God. So I pray the Lord bless that word and encourage you all in the faith of Jesus Christ.